at the heart of North Yorkshire.
BBC Radio York.
I've always had it in my genes. Everyone who has Tourette's, you know, they've had the condition for their whole lives. But how much it shows itself and whether where it develops in your life can be different for everyone.
So when did it really start to emerge for you then?
Well, it was around when I was five, but we can now trace it back until when I was three. But when I was five, there were various stresses I had at schools, various things like that. And I was sat in class one day and next thing you know, I just randomly squeaked. I went, eep! And everybody looked at me, thought, you know, oh, he's just being strange or something like that. And then it got worse. I was squeaking. I went from squeaking to flailing my arms, from squeaking to screaming and flailing my arms, various things, shouting out words, shouting out various noises. I have a really annoying one where I just tut, like that. So people thought I was being rude to them, various things. So you can imagine the prejudice.
When you say it's really annoying, who do you mean it's annoying? You're conscious that it's annoying to other people, or is it annoying to you?
For myself, you kind of get used to it. The bigger ones are annoying for me. If I'm sat in the cinema and I get very self-conscious about everybody looking at me, but, you know, the fact that you're trying to listen to a film or, you know, talk to someone and next thing you know, you've shouted in their face. One, it cuts the conversation or your concentration on anything in half. And, you know, if you, for instance, like, say, a film, you've just missed what they've just said. Mm. You've just missed what happens because it might just affect my hearing, but it also you have a premature sort of like lapse of concentration, blackout sort of thing when you have a tic. And yes, it can be annoying to me, but when I say annoying, it is more I'm concerned about everyone else, because the less annoying it is to other people, the easier it is for me to cope, because it doesn't have an impact on them. I'm not having to worry about them and me.
Right, you talk about annoying people. Does it also make people laugh, and does that worry you? Because you strike me as a very grounded sort of person with a great sense of humour.
Oh, thank you.
But does it...
Chicken!
Right, so that's your word, isn't it? Chicken.
Oh, I am... From the documentaries I've done, I cannot... If I meet someone and they go, I know you, I did the documentaries. I go, oh, you say chicken. It's very much become my catchphrase. But
does that bother you? I mean, do you mind being the, you know, oh, yeah, he's the chicken bloke?
I'd rather I was called that than, oh, he's the guy who swears a lot. You know, I'd rather shout chicken in a million people than shout the F word at the top of my voice.
Yeah. We're very grateful for that on BBC Radio.
So am I. But laughter is a good thing.
Yeah.
I've always stood by that, and my parents have always stood by that. If you can, it's more laughing with me, not laughing at me, though, which is the difference. If you have someone, it's like my friends at uni. First thing that happened, I met a group of brilliant people, you know, who I'm all still very close to. And I was with them, and my mate Duncan there actually has Tourette's. He went, oh, I know you. Oh, you say chicken. And at that moment, he triggered it. So my tic shouted chicken at the top of my voice. And I think everybody collapsed laughing for about the next 10 minutes, always giggling. And it was a bonding thing, you know, everybody laughed, everybody enjoyed it. They weren't taking the, you know, mick out of me, but they enjoyed it. So in a sense, I see it, if someone can take something pleasurable from my Tourette's, it's better than them being there sat, oh, God, he's squeaking again, you know. And it's quite an enlightening thing in lecture when I shout out something like flying asparagus and everybody just goes, where?
Flying asparagus? Yeah. That's another thing, is it?
Yeah.
Where does that come? Do you know where these come from?
Chicken came from a math lesson.
Right.
I don't know why. My friend had a pencil case and had drawn a chicken on it. And so my tic latches onto random things and just shouted out the word chicken. And the way it stuck was we were doing fractions at the time and our teacher said, ah, but you can't divide a chicken in half, Greg. We could do it with a chicken pie. And ever since it stuck, flying asparagus, I was working at a Spanish restaurant in Pickering. And I had a tic.
Which is where you're from, we should
yes,
say. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I had a tic and the chef was frying some asparagus. And he went, shocked, the asparagus flew up in the air. And ever since that, I've had the one flying asparagus.
Okay. Well, that's fairly straightforward. So just to explain then, I mean, if people hear you, they may have heard your... Right, there we are. You've just had a tic. Have you got any control over it at all?
I have a lot more control than I used to. I have a lot more control over it than quite a few people with Tourette's I know. The reason for that is I've never taken drugs really for the Tourette's, and a lot of people I know do.
At the heart of North Yorkshire,
BBC Radio York.
I'm fascinated by what you said a minute or two ago, Greg, about how food is a factor in your Tourette syndrome. So do certain diets, do they cause your verbal tic?
Yeah. You know, I think it must have been about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a massive campaign with the health food and everything, salt and sugar and everything, but on e-numbers and colourings in foods. I can tell you for a fact that if I eat a packet of Skittles, I will be off the wall. Oh, God, I've named a place. A packet of sweets, which are highly coloured, yeah, it will send me off the wall in at least under 10 minutes.
Right.
Where...
So it's a bit like some mums will tell you then, if they give, you know, a 2 or 3 year old sweets, they'll be climbing the walls. And you're sensitive in the same way.
My Tourette's just amplifies what you actually see. Instead of me running around going, I shout everything under the sun and lash out and things like that. So when at uni I'm buying my food, I've got to be very careful of the amount of colourings and various things in. Also sugar. The more energy I have, the more I tick, because in a sense, the more energy my Tourette's has to use. The tireder I am, I tick less, because I'm not... I'm not ready to go.
That's a nuisance, though, because, I mean, as a young guy, you know, you want to be full of energy. You want to be up there and sort of...
Well, being a drummer and a rollerblader,
right,
it's really not useful when you're, right, I'm going to go for a rollerblade, but no, you've ticked that much. The good thing is, as soon as I put on my roller skates or when I'm drumming, I stop ticking, so that sort of gives me a very big release.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Come on, Sarah. There must be some... Do you mind Sarah asking you some questions?
I've got millions of questions.
Because she's a scientist, and I've sort of tried to ask the questions that occur to me. And I know you answered a lot of these when you were on with Steve a couple of months ago, but go on, Sarah.
So that's really interesting, isn't it? So the relaxation, and is it something to do with the endorphins or something that get released in the body at that stage? Is that what the calming influence is, do you think?
Well, I know part of the science of it. Basically, obviously, you have synapses in your brain, and when you pass over the various chemical, neural pathways, when it passes over the chemicals to send the transmission into your brain, when you're active and doing something, they're a lot stronger because you're focused and therefore your brain is in on a task.
Okay.
When you're not, they're more loose, and your brain is thinking about a million other things, what I'm going to have for lunch, various things like that. But when you are, for instance, I don't know, I don't drive, but when you're driving, you've got your eyes on the road and your main concentration is there. But when I'm just sat here and not drumming, I'm, you know, like I say, thinking about you guys, thinking about the room we're in, various things. So all of those other thoughts can be processed into tics. It's not that the tics come out of nothing. It's the fact that another thought can be, instead of it going down the right neural pathway, too much of the chemical can be produced, go down other ones, creating me to tic.
Can I just make an observation? That your tics have been really controlled this morning. They're not nearly as pronounced as I had expected they might be. It's been at the moments when I've said, OK, well, let's go and do the traffic and travel news, or let's go to the news headlines, and my focus moves away from you two, that's when your tic has emerged, because that's the second that I suppose you relax and you're not thinking, right, he might be going to ask me a question now. He's moving on to something else.
The way I do that is I drum in my head. Whenever I drum...
I thought I could hear something.
Now, whenever I am drumming, I have a total release. Same with when I'm roller skating. So I've learnt to reproduce that feeling of concentration in the back of my head. So at the moment, I'm playing along to one of my favourite songs in my head. I can still give you my full concentration, but I've learnt to sort of train that back part of my mind, which can be the bit which wanders, to do something which I know will keep it straight, concentrated.
Focus. Yeah. That's it.
Amazing. So my next question was, so you said it's genetic.
Yes.
So is there anyone else in your family who has Tourette's?
Yes. My dad has it.
Oh, really?
So mildly you wouldn't even... He has a thing where he has to, like, sort of, like, chip at his nails with his hand, and one where he... like grunts and coughs or twitches his face. you know, something which most people would take as normal. My sister has it slightly more so.
Okay.
I was obviously born first. She's a younger sister, but she has it milder than me. She has various grunts, has a neck tick where she has to roll her neck round. So, it, you know, you can see the progression through my family. Mm. Until I got it, though, we didn't even know. You know, there was, my dad had never been diagnosed. It wasn't big enough for it to be seen, sort of thing.
At the heart of North Yorkshire.
BBC Radio York.